Good morning, church. It's so wonderful to worship with you. I love worshiping with you. Let me try. So we are on a series called Thriving in the City. Pastor Wade started the series off with a powerful sermon on living in freedom. How do we hold grace and truth together in a loving tension? If you've missed the sermon, I would highly encourage you to go listen to it on our website. And last week, Pastor Wade preached on what it means for us to walk in peace, a timely topic in our time for Hong Kong right now. And for today, I started out wanting to talk about something else. But as things got worse in Hong Kong, my heart was really breaking for the people in Hong Kong. You know, and I was really sad to see people divide over party lines and political agendas. Even Christians argue over what is acceptable to pray and what is not. Should we pray for the government to say yes to the demands, or should we not? Is it okay to pray for Carrie Lam to step down, or is it not? And so on. And I thought to myself, could we perhaps take one step back from the specifics of the protest and reflect on something deeper, something that's underlying what's going on? And perhaps the primary issue is that many people in this city are not flourishing. And now, this has bubbled to the surface. It's boiling vigorously. And I wondered, like, God, what is your heart on this? How do you feel about this? What do you want your people to know? What is your sense of thriving, of flourishing for the people of Hong Kong? You see, church, God's vision of flourishing is not only about individual thriving. Although it is about that too, God wants you individually to thrive. But it's not about I thrive, but you don't. I live in abundance, but you live in scarcity. I have enough, but you don't. I live in comfort, but you live on the street. For him, it's about everyone flourishing in the city together. It's a vision that transcends all political affinities and social classes. In Hong Kong, we have a population of about 7.5 million people. Now, by most social or political manifestos in the world, if you have 99.9% of the population flourishing and only 0.01% not quite flourishing, 7,500 people around. If that's the case, it's a win, right? It's something to boast about. Look how well we have done. But God's vision or manifesto is different. Even if there is just one person struggling out of 7.5 million people, God's heart is still grieved. Because people are not statistics. And so I would like to talk about this vision today, about what it means for Hong Kong, all of Hong Kong, to flourish. Is that okay? So my plan for the sermon? So, you know, I have a habit of wanting to put together stuff from IKEA without first looking at the instruction manual. How many of you do that? Oh, thank you. I don't feel so bad now. And so, when I get stuck, then I'll be like, oops, I need to go back to look at the manual. And then I can go, okay, so this is what it's supposed to look like. So this is how I can correct it, because then I can take it to what it's supposed to look like. Right? So I wish I can tell you or say to you that I've learned my lesson, but I haven't. I'm still doing this. all the time. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it's always good to get a sense of the blueprint before we start anything. And what is the blueprint? So the dictionary says that a blueprint is a design that explains how something might be achieved. So we are going to start with God's super blueprint, blueprint for flourishing today. Oops. And then I'm going to explain to you why this super blueprint did not materialize in the way it was designed to. It was derailed. And finally, how did we get back on track? And what does that mean for us here in Hong Kong? Would you stand with me as I read the scripture for today? Reading from Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the earth." God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I now give you every seed-bearing plant." I'm sorry, "On the face of the entire earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the animals of the earth and to every bird of the air and to all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." It was so. Reading from Genesis 2:16. To 17. Then the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat fruit from every tree of the orchard, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely die." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that your word is the light unto our path, especially in times like this in Hong Kong, when we feel like it's darkness everywhere and we cannot see ahead. You have breathed every part of scripture into being to show us truth and train us to live in your way. Open our eyes and ears today and help us to hear you. And Father, help me to open your word faithfully. Amen. You may sit down now. Okay, so like reading instruction manual, this first part of the sermon is just very slightly technical, but bear with me. It will be fruitful, I promise you. Okay, so different people have different ideas about what ultimate flourishing looks like. For some, it's like this. When Hong Kong ranked among the top three global financial hubs, then it is flourishing for some. Or this, being the world's freest economy. For others, flourishing is when Hong Kong has the best of food and wine, and sometimes the best clubbing scene. What is yours? What is your idea of flourishing in Hong Kong? God's idea of flourishing in Hong Kong or in the world is found in what we've just read, Genesis 1:26-30. You know, church, isn't it amazing that the entire blueprint of God for flourishing is contained in just 5 verses? You know, sometimes we are very tempted to just skip over these things because we are so familiar with them, but there is so much richness in it. Okay, let me give you a little bit of context. So we're going to start with 1:26, but 1, 1 to 125 tells us that God turned a dark, chaotic earth into a place fit for life, where you can actually live. So for example, he made daylight. What does that mean? It means photosynthesis can now take place. He put a boundary between water and land so that we can cultivate vegetation and plants on dry land. He made an entire system to support life. Now, but this life support system has not been designed to function in a full autopilot mode, right? We are not robots. It doesn't happen that way. Somebody needs to do something to make things grow, to make food available. And so what did God do? God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea," and so on. So we're going to look at the two underlying words. That is also in your bulletin, by the way. I should have mentioned that earlier. Rule. Okay, what do you think about that word? Is it do you think it's a positive word? In this day and age, people don't like this word because it could suggest power, unbridled power. It could suggest violence and maybe even bullying. But this is not God's idea of ruling. How do we know? Because in the Old Testament, ruling has to do with a king ruling under God's authority. God, king. Meaning, you can't do what you like. Are you guys familiar with the concept of servant leadership? Yeah? So this is something like servant kingship. Proverbs 31 tells us that kings like this do some very important things. They speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And they speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Church, can you imagine what a human society could look like with this kind of ruling? Next, we look at our image. Wow, God made you to be like Him, to rule over creation. Isn't that something? Whether you're a Christian or not, you are made in God's image. Okay, but think about this. Why not choose a mighty animal like the lion to rule over creation? Why not? Why make a creature in His image? Because we are supposed to be His representatives here on earth, to rule like He would. So He made us like Him. He made you, each of you here, like Him, with some of His characteristics. Like what? Like the capacity to create, to make things, to build things. God Himself is the Creator God. He created. Now, of course, He made things out of nothing. You and I make things with the raw materials He has given us. Now, with this capacity, we have developed and improved on housing options over the thousands of years. We invented the light bulbs. We learned to make wine from grapes, and I thank God for that. And we built aeroplanes. We invented the banking system, and so on. And God also gives us the capacity to reason, to think, to discern, to organize. Remember, God Himself brought order out of chaos, right? To make the earth life-sustaining. And God has also given us a similar kind of capacity. Okay, here's an illustration for you. Over the thousands of years, we have organized and allocated resources in various ways. Now, this is what I imagine, okay? Adam and Eve would give birth. And they would have to educate their children about the world, about God. Now, you multiply this by 10,000, and many, many years later, you have many more children. And someone says, "Hey, why don't we get all the children together, pool our resources, and educate them as a group so that it's more efficient?" And there you have an education system. Animals don't do that. Now you might be wondering, why are you telling me about the capacities we have? Two reasons. One, some people, including many Christians, think that the world has gone so bad because of human beings and the things that we have invented. And then they condemn everything that human beings have ever contributed to civilization. The marketplace is bad. The financial system is evil. The taxation system is evil. Let's retreat from the big bad world and wait until we go to heaven. But God is here to redeem the world and those structures. Another reason is this. If I know that my capacities are given by God for other people, then I know that I'm not to use whatever I can gain from using my capacity for my own flourishing. God makes me good. God makes you good at what you do so that you can help others flourish. What are you good at? And how do you think God wants you to use those things, that the capacities that make you good at what you do? And last capacity here, to have relationships, to love and to care. He made us like Him so that we can do relationship with Him and with one another. Our relationship with God helps us to rule creation like Him in a loving and caring way. And when we rule like this, it's supposed to lead to everyone having enough, everyone flourishing. This is a picture of abundance. Everything comes from God. It's God-giving. It's God-giving. Every seed-bearing plant, every tree that has fruit, for all the creatures of the earth. We are the ones that are supposed to take these things that God has given and to steward them so that everyone has enough. God is a God of abundance. So a vision of flourishing in Hong Kong might just look something like this, where the financial system, the taxation system, the welfare system, the education system, and so on, act together to ensure that everyone has enough to thrive. Not 50%, not even 99%, but all of Hong Kong. But we are not seeing this, are we? Something has gone wrong. Something needs to be fixed. So after telling Adam to take care of creation, God said in Genesis 2:16 and 17, "You may freely eat fruit from every tree of the orchard, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely die." Are you curious as to what this tree is all about? Can I tell you that I used to be very, very curious about it? So I was a rather precocious kid when I was young. I used to torture my poor teacher at youth Sunday school with many, many questions. Why this? Why that? This doesn't make sense. Why? This makes sense, but why? So, you know, it troubled me a lot that Adam and Eve were living in paradise. But what do you mean they cannot make value judgments? Because I thought like they didn't know what good and bad was. And so I was like, this doesn't make sense. Because after all, they could tell the serpent that they shouldn't be eating from that tree. They knew that. So what does this really mean? Actually, good and evil is an idiom in the Hebrew language. Do you know what an idiom is, guys? So it's something like this. If I say, get off my back, I don't literally mean like you're on my back and I need you to get off. Right? So, but of course, it could still happen, especially when I think about my niece who would like to climb on top here all the time. So Daniel Fuller, a scholar who has done lots of research on this idiom, says this. The command not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil would then mean that Adam and Eve were not to aspire to that maturity possessed only by God, whereby they might consider themselves to be independent of him and able to enjoy a fulfilled life by taking matters into their own hands and making their own decisions for their future welfare. I do this in my life. I don't know about you, but I do this in my life. I love taking matters into my own hands and making my life work. So the real problem is that we try to be God. We want independence from God. We want to rule the world with our own wisdom. And so after the fall, human beings have continued to use God-given capacities to rule the earth, to allocate resources. But this ruling has been driven primarily by human wisdom. What's the impact of this? It's that God's vision of flourishing has been compromised. It means that my flourishing could be at the expense of my neighbor's flourishing. Okay, I don't know about you, but I love, or rather one of my mottos in life is cheap and good. But maybe what is cheap and good for me is not good for my neighbor. Taxi fares are very expensive in Vancouver and used to bug me so much because I was just not used to it. And now in Hong Kong, taxis are very cheap. The guidebook Lonely Planet says Hong Kong taxis are a bargain compared with those in other world-class cities. Okay, this is what I do, okay? Too hot? Flag. Too rainy? Flag down a cab. Too many things to carry? Flag down a cab. How it helps me to flourish in Hong Kong. Paying less for taxis means I can buy more Starbucks, eat better, drink better wine. But is my flourishing at the expense of the flourishing of the taxi driver? We live in a world where we decide that the contribution made by someone cleaning the toilet is a lot less valuable than the contribution made by someone who is an engineer, for instance, and we reward them accordingly. You know, I cannot imagine that God would say this. Hear you, I give you the ability to make cars, and you are entitled to 10 apples from the orchard there. Go help yourself. And you, I give you the ability to clean really well, and you are entitled to 1 apple from the orchard. Go help yourself. Income disparity, the wealth gap in Hong Kong is a serious issue. An article in the SCMP from last year says that the disparity is greatest in 45 years, even with a budget surplus of $690 billion. A free economy has its advantages and disadvantages. Every system in the world has advantages and disadvantages. And many systems of allocation of resources have good intentions behind them. It's not like, oh, we are out there with malice, you know. But we want the best. But even, church, even with the best intentions, systems built on human wisdom is never enough to achieve God's standard of flourishing. Whether it's democracy, socialism, or even capitalism, we have yet to see the kind of ultimate flourishing envisaged by God. But sometimes we can be so focused on getting the right system or the right manifesto to solve all our problems that we forget that the only truly workable solution has to be anchored in God Himself, in His wisdom, not ours. Knowing this is important so we don't get easily disillusioned. Church, don't get disillusioned by what's happening here in Hong Kong. Grieve, yes, I grieve. Even God is grieving over Hong Kong. But don't get disillusioned. Because there is hope when we look for hope from the only one who can give us real hope. The life giver, the bread of life, the Son of God, who hung on a tree has come so that we may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. He has come to put us back on track, onto the path towards full flourishing. In other words, kingdom life flourishing is possible because of Jesus. And you might be wondering, what does this mean for us here in this city? You might want to know, what do I do? What can we do? You know, I wish I could say to you, God says, implement this policy here, take out that policy there, hire these people, fire those people, and we are good to go. But I can't. We can't. We don't have all the answers, and rightly so, because we are not God. But I do know this. We cannot remain passive. Many people in Hong Kong have not been flourishing for a very long time, and it's breaking God's heart. I believe we can do at least two things. One, cultivate kingdom life. Do you know that Christianity started with a very, very tiny group of people who had very little resources and very little influence in society? And yet, they went on to turn the Roman world upside down or right side up with only the gospel and the Holy Spirit. How did they do it? What happened? What did the gospel and the Holy Spirit enable them to do? So in a place, the ancient Roman world, where killing or abandoning young babies was totally okay, it was like really totally okay, they would dump babies in sewage, and then you'll find many bodies in the sewage. And where compassion was considered a bad thing to be avoided, these early Christians tried to save babies left to die, took in the orphans, cared for the widow, and had compassion on the poor. They loved and cared outrageously. No magic formula. They just loved and cared like God would, like the image bearers they were created to be. I wonder, what could we do to love and care in Hong Kong today that would be just as countercultural or as outrageous as what they did 2,000 years ago? I wonder. And you know what else is outrageous? People who are very different overcame their differences, and they got united in a common vision. So this pro-establishment and anti-establishment thingy that we are seeing today is not new. Among Jesus' disciples were Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector. Simon was of the anti-establishment camp, and Matthew was seen to be part of the establishment, the government, which ripped people off with their hard-earned money. But in Jesus, they became family. They became united in the vision of the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Can this happen for us? Can we stand united in a vision for Hong Kong where not a single person will be left behind? And the second thing we can do and must do is pray. It is how. Praying is how you can love Hong Kong. It is how we can join God in bringing His kingdom to Hong Kong. Jesus Himself taught us to pray, "Father, your kingdom come." Church, today, I would like us to pray together for this city. I would like us, all of us here, to stand in the gap for all the people of Hong Kong. Would you join me? It is not a short prayer, but would you join me? I will have the ushers hand out this prayer sheet here. And you could either close your eyes and just meditate on the words as I read through the prayer, or you could join me in praying for Hong Kong. You could sit down, stand up, kneel down, whatever. Just choose whichever position you're most comfortable in. Does everyone have one? Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is Elohim, the Creator God. Every human being in Hong Kong is created in your image. Your name is Elohim Chaim, the living God, who is active and engaged in the affairs of Hong Kong. Your name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for the people of Hong Kong. Your name is Jehovah Shalom. You are the peace that the city needs. Your name is El Elyon. You are sovereign over the nations of the world. You are sovereign over this city. Your name is Elkanah. You are a jealous God. You are jealous for the flourishing of your image bearers in Hong Kong. Your name is Elroy. You see us. You have not forgotten us. You see Hong Kong. You see every person in Hong Kong. Your name is El Shaddai, the mighty God who is mighty to save. Your name is El Rofe, the healing God, the ultimate healer of Hong Kong. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here in Hong Kong as it is in heaven. Your kingdom is a kingdom of life and flourishing. Your kingdom is a kingdom of restoration, mercy, healing, and justice. Your kingdom is where the hungry are fed and the homeless are housed. Your kingdom is where the oppressed are set free and where the marginalized finds embrace. Your kingdom is where we stand in solidarity with the poor and where we champion the cause of the powerless. Your will is that we join you in governing creation with love and care. Your will is that we use the abilities you have endowed us with to bless others and to stand in the gap for those whose skills and contributions are looked down upon by society. Your will is that the ultimate end of our productive work is not just creativity and productivity, but relationship and generosity. Your will is for Hong Kong to be filled with kingdom life. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done in our financial sector and in the marketplace as it is in heaven. May people not be seen as productive digits or as means to economic and political ends or as mere statistics. May regulators and policymakers in the government and companies be filled with your wisdom and compassion so that employment policies and conditions which preserve human dignity and human thriving can be secured. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done in our taxation system as it is in heaven. May the Inland Revenue Department, whose vision is to be an excellent tax administration that plays an important part in promoting Hong Kong's prosperity and stability, be filled with your wisdom so that it can promote prosperity for all of Hong Kong, for every image bearer in Hong Kong. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done in our education system as it is in heaven. Fill our educators with your wisdom as they equip and nurture our children and our youth. May success and achievement be redefined to be in alignment with your heart and with your desire to see our children and youth truly thrive. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done in our government as it is in heaven. As they budget and allocate resources, may they do so in alignment with the vision of flourishing in your kingdom. In particular, give them your wisdom as they seek to address pressing issues such as affordable housing and income disparity. May they leave no one behind as they chart the path forward. Give us today our daily bread. Give us the physical food that our body needs. Give us everything necessary to live out the kingdom life in Hong Kong. Fill us with your life-giving spirit so that we might be filled with your wisdom, discernment, courage, strength, patience, and your vision. That we might then be able to navigate the tension between truth and grace in a life-giving way. That we might be vessels of your peace in a city which so desperately needs to know and to experience your peace. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, you have every right to give me what I deserve, but you did not do that. Instead, you gave me your Son, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. So help me to share this grace and mercy with others, especially with those who have hurt me deeply. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, you know we cannot stand up under very much pressure. As you lead us to the test, all of life is a test. As you seek to prove and improve our faith, do not let the test become a temptation, a seduction to sin, but deliver us from the subtle wiles of the deceiver, against whom we are no match. Father, rescue us from the evil one. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, may your kingdom come. Amen. And Father, we pray for the protest today. We thank you that no tear gas was used yesterday, but Lord, we continue to just lift up those protests unto you and say, God, God, may your peace reign in those places. May there be no more violence. May there be no more bloodshed. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. Amen. You may be seated.